Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar on ISO 13485:2016. Today, I'll be giving a detailed overview of some of the more crucial requirements in the standard. My name is Shannon Craddock, and I'm the Programs and Accreditations Manager here at PJR. So today I'll be giving a detailed overview of some of the most important requirements of 13485:2016 with time for Q&A after. So let's actually start with some of the introductory sections of the standard. Section 0.1, entitled General, includes detail regarding the types of organizations covered by ISO 13485 and the life cycle stages covered. So what they're attempting to communicate here is it's not just organizations manufacturing finished devices. So organizations involved in design and development, as well as production, but also storage and distribution, installation of devices, maybe active monitoring systems, for example, final decommissioning and disposal of medical devices, and design, development, and provision of associated activities, perhaps a design service, perhaps a sterilization or sanitization service. Regarding the types of organizations, the standard is applicable to suppliers or external parties providing product, so maybe raw material, resin that eventually gets molded into a plastic product, component parts, maybe a printed circuit board, subassemblies, final medical devices, as well as sterilization services, calibration services, and distribution and maintenance services. All these life cycle stages and all these different types of organizations are applicable to ISO 13485. A little more on section 0.1, the standard requires the organization to identify its role under applicable regulatory requirements. And there's more detail on this in a later slide. And then once you know your role, you need to identify the regulatory requirements that apply to your activities under these rules. So in the United States, the applicable regulatory requirement is 21 CFR Part 820. In Canada, those requirements are going to be different versus Japan or Australia, for example. And then once you know what regulatory requirements apply, implement and maintain those within your quality management system. Okay, moving to section 0.2, clarification of concepts. There's a clarification that the words as appropriate are deemed to be appropriate unless an organization can provide a justification otherwise. Keep in mind that a requirement is always considered appropriate if it's necessary for an organization to comply with any applicable regulatory requirements or for an organization to manage risks. You can't take a non-applicable for a regulatory requirement or if it's related to the management of risk. And use of the word risk pertains to the safety or performance requirements of the medical device or meeting applicable regulatory requirements. So this is going to extend beyond product realization. If sterilization needs to be maintained, obviously throughout distribution, that's well beyond product realization. It's a clarification that the word documented not only means putting it in writing, but establishing, implementing, and maintaining the process. Product is also understood to mean service. This isn't really new. We've been working with this concept under ISO 9001 for a while, that product is understood to also mean service. 0.3 talks about the process approach. Again, for those of you familiar with ISO 9001, this shouldn't be new. So there are some requirements that really are there to drive the process approach to quality management. So you need to understand and meet requirements, identify processes in terms of added value. And once you've identified those processes, you need to see how your processes are performing. If a process isn't meeting a target, a performance target, you need to take action and improve those processes based on that objective measurement. Essentially, what gets measured gets done. It gets implemented, it gets improved. Section 1 scope again reiterates the expanded applicability of the standard in terms of life cycle stages and different suppliers and external parties, not just the medical device manufacturers themselves. This next bullet point, I think, is one of the most important points in this entire presentation. Outsourced processes are the responsibility of the organization and are to be accounted for in the organization's QMS by monitoring, maintaining, and controlling the processes. Many organizations seeking certification to 13485 are outsourcing their manufacturing process either partially or wholly to a contract manufacturer. As part of our 1345 audit, we need to verify the integrity of that outsourced process. How are you ensuring that it's done in a controlled manner? Are you conducting audits of that contract manufacturer? Are you requiring certification to a certain standard? Are you requiring compliance with regulatory requirements? Are you making site visits? Are you requiring them to report changes in their certification status or processes? How are you controlling them? If those controls don't exist and aren't implemented, you will not become certified. Section 1 also clarifies that requirements in Section 6 and 8, as well as Section 7, could potentially be justified as non-applicable, as long as they're not related to risk or meeting a regulatory requirement, as I previously described. So there are a number of terms and definitions in Section 3 that I thought were really important to review. And the first is term 3.2, authorized representative. This is a natural or legal person established within a country or jurisdiction, who has received a written mandate from the manufacturer to act on his behalf for specified tasks with regard to the latter's obligations under that country or jurisdiction's legislation. Is the definition of a complaint. And you'll note that this definition is different than the 9001:2015 definition. A complaint is written, electronic, or oral communication, coming in any medium, that alleges deficiencies related to the identity, quality, durability, reliability, usability, safety, or performance of a medical device that has been released from the organization's control or related to a service that affects the performance of such medical device. 3.5 is the definition of a distributor, which is a natural or legal person in the supply chain who on his own behalf furthers the availability of the medical device to the end user. It's important to remember there may be more than one in the supply chain. And people involved in such activities such as storage, transport on behalf of the manufacturer, importer, or distributor are not distributors under this particular definition. Importer is the natural or legal person in the supply chain who is the first to make a medical device in a specific area that's manufactured in another country or jurisdiction available in the country or jurisdiction where it is to be marketed. 310 is the definition of a manufacturer, which is a natural or legal person with responsibility for the design and or manufacture of a medical device with the intention of making the medical device available for use under his name. So it's got to be under that manufacturer's name, whether or not such a medical device is designed and or manufactured by that person himself or on his behalf by other persons. So the processes can be outsourced, but if it's under that natural or legal person's name, they're considered the manufacturer. Okay, now we get into the normative requirements against which you're audited. And when we talked about documenting an organization's role under the applicable regulatory requirements, this is the slide that has more information. So the organization is required to document the role undertaken by the organization under the applicable regulatory requirements. Potentially, they could be a manufacturer, an authorized representative, an importer, or a distributor. And this is why I felt it was so important to define those terms. Four point one, general requirements. I want to review a couple of these here. So, not new if you're familiar to 9001, but in 412A, the organization shall determine the processes needed for the QMS and the application of these processes throughout the organization, taking into account the role undertaken by the organization. And then apply a risk-based approach to control of the appropriate processes needed for the quality management system. So you may have multiple manufacturing streams, some of which may be outsourced. Some may be riskier than others based on the class of the device, the newness of the manufacturing technology. You may be dedicating more resource or emphasis to those lines at any one particular point in time. Again, a risk-based approach. Four one four says that changes to processes shall be evaluated for their impact on the management system, as well as their impact on the medical device, and controlled in accordance with 1345 and regulatory requirements. So you need to understand what regulatory requirements are applicable. Four one five. Again, a really important slide. I think one of the most important slides in today's presentation. If an organization makes a business decision to outsource a process, this is very often manufacturing, but it doesn't have to be. It could be design, it could be transport, it could be servicing, it could be installation. They need to monitor and control the process. The organization themselves is responsible for conformity to 1345, customer, and applicable regulatory requirements. And the control shall be proportionate to the risk involved and the ability of the external party to meet requirements. So if the organization is 1345 certified and they have a long history of providing consistent product, on time, on quality product, there may be fewer controls versus an outsourced manufacturer or distributor or calibration service that may not be 1345 certified. Maybe they're 9001 certified or not certified at all. You would obviously have more controlled arrangements, more monitoring in place. And there's a specific call out for one of the controls, and this is a written quality agreement with that subcontractor. 416 talks about procedures for documenting, procedures for validating computer software used in the quality management system. So software needs to be validated prior to use, and if there's any changes in the software or its application, And the extent of revalidation shall be proportionate to the risk associated with use of the software. Records of validation and revalidation need to be maintained. And yes, this may include commercial off-the-shelf software used in your quality management system, like Excel for tracking maybe devices requiring calibration. Four, two, three talks about the requirements related to the medical device file. So for each individual medical device or family of devices, the organization needs to establish and maintain a file that contains or references links to documents required by 1345 or applicable regulatory requirements. File contents include the description of the device, its intended use or purpose, labeling and instructions for use, the specifications of the product, which may be a design drawing, for example, specifications or procedures for manufacturing, packaging, storage, handling, and distribution. If there's certain sterility requirements, those would be specified here. Procedures for measuring and monitoring, requirements for installation, if applicable, and requirements for servicing, if applicable. 424, control of documents. Here there is a very specific call out for a procedure, and that procedure needs to address preventing deterioration or loss of documents. 425, again, is very 1345 specific. The organization is required to define and implement methods for protecting confidential health information contained in records in accordance with regulatory devices. So as a manufacturer, if you get access to health or monitoring data, glucose levels in blood, for example, as part of your process or servicing, you need to have a process in place for protecting that confidential health information, that PHI. 561, an organization has to have a documented procedure for management review. The QMS needs to be reviewed at documented and planned intervals. There's some newer requirements when you look at the 2003 standard as a basis of comparison, including feedback, complaint handling, and reporting to regulatory. Section 6.2, human resources. There needs to be a documented procedure for establishing competence, providing needed training, and assuring awareness of personnel. So that first point, I think, is especially important, and I see a lot of organizations struggling with this, regardless of the management system standard. You need to have a way to document the competency requirements for each position or function within your organization. The purchasing manager must have the demonstrated ability to A, B, C, D, E, and so forth. And then you need to evaluate whether they meet those requirements. That person may meet those requirements and need no training. But if there's a gap in the competency, you need to provide training. And there also needs to be some awareness of all personnel of 1345, of the importance of the requirements, regulatory requirements, and how they impact the safe functioning of a medical device. Section 6.3, infrastructure. The organization needs to document the requirements for the infrastructure needed to prevent product mix-up and ensure orderly handling of products. And infrastructure does include information systems. Maintenance has been clarified to be applicable to not only equipment used in production, but that used in controlling the work environment, maybe temperature, humidity, monitoring devices, and measuring and monitoring equipment. Section 641, more about the work environment. The organization shall document the requirements for the work environment needed to achieve conformity to product requirements. Does the product need to be processed in a clean room? Are there temperature humidity requirements, certain PPE requirements? 642, contamination control. For sterile medical devices, the organization needs to document requirements for control of contamination with microorganisms or particulate matter and maintain that required cleanliness throughout assembly and packaging. So you're seeing here a trend, lots of requirements for documenting, documented procedure, documented requirements, documented specifications, much more above and beyond 9001 2015. Okay, moving into section 7. First, before we get into product realization, let's talk about the inputs needed to ensure successful product realization, starting with planning. The organization needs to provide resources specific to the product, including infrastructure and work environment. So this may be hardware, software, very specific equipment, human resources, environmental conditions. And the organization needs to determine required handling, storage, distribution, and traceability activities. Specialized handling or storage requirements. Do they need to be stored in a certain type of environment? What are the traceability requirements? Is it by device, batches of device, or traceability of individual devices? Section 721, a very uniquely 13485 requirement. The organization needs to determine any user training needed to ensure the performance and safe use of the medical device. I know, for example, I just administered a at-home COVID test to a member of my household. That at-home COVID test had instructions to ensure the performance of that medical device. 722, review of requirements related to the product. So this review must occur prior to the organization committing to supplying the product to the customer and ensure that applicable regulatory requirements are met and any user training previously identified is or will be made available. Okay, the next few slides contain a lot about the design and development process. So 732 focuses on design and development planning. You're going to see here a theme of a lot of documentation requirements. So the organization needs to document what types of design reviews are needed and at which stage. The methods to ensure traceability of the design and development outputs to design and development inputs, and what resources are needed. And that those resources include human resource and their specific competencies. Section 733 talks about design and development inputs. So inputs related to product requirements must be determined and records maintained, and inputs need to consider usability requirements of the device. And any requirements should be able to be verified or validated in later stages. So in the input stage, we talked about when design reviews would be required. When you're actually doing those design reviews, the records need to include the identification of the design under review, who was involved, and when that review took place. 736 talks to design and development verification. The organization must document verification plans that include the methods to be used, what the acceptance criteria are, and if appropriate, statistical techniques with rationale for sample size. Are we looking at every device or a sampling of the devices? When the medical device requires a connection or interface with another, so maybe it's part of a larger operating system, then the verification needs to include confirmation the design outputs are met when the device is in fact connected or interfaced and functioning as it would for an end user. The records of results and conclusions of verification and any necessary actions resulting from verification need to be maintained. I'm going to see some parallels here with design validation. First, the organization is required to document the validation plans, including methods and acceptance criteria, and statistical techniques with regard to sampling size if sampling is to be employed. Rationale for choice of product use for validation needs to be recorded. Again, when the intended use of the medical device requires interface with another, the validation needs to take place when that is connected or interface. And records of the results of any design validation activities and necessary actions must be maintained. Section 7.3.8 is a call out for a document procedure for transfer of design and development outputs to manufacturing. The procedure has to ensure that outputs are verified as suitable for manufacturing before becoming final production specs, and the production capability can meet product requirements. Results, conclusions of the transfer need to be recorded. And finally, 7.3.9 talks about design and development changes. The organization needs to determine the significance of any changes to the function, performance, usability, safety, and applicable regulatory requirements of the medical device and its intended use. And a review of the change shall include evaluation of the effect on the change on parts, WIP, delivered product, inputs, outputs of risk management, and product realization processes. So certainly a holistic approach. Section 7.3.10 talks about design and development files. The organization needs to maintain a design development file for each medical device or device family. And the file must include a reference records generated to demonstrate conformity to the requirements for design and development. So all the slides I previously reviewed, and include or reference records for design and development changes. Okay, moving on to purchasing. Criteria for evaluation and selection of suppliers needs to be based on the performance of the supplier. So a established supplier within your system who consistently provides on time, on quality product may not be subject to such a rigorous reevaluation as other suppliers, and be proportionate to the risk associated with the medical device. That being said, it may be a solid performing supplier, but if they're providing a risky product or service component, they may be subject to some rigor. The organization needs to plan the monitoring and reevaluation of a supplier, which includes their ability to meet requirements for purchased product. And the results of monitoring shall be an input to the supplier reevaluation process. So again, suppliers that consistently provide on time, on quality product or service may be subject to less rigorous reevaluation. If you have a supplier that it is non-conforming, they're not meeting a purchasing requirement, they need to be handled based on risk associated with the purchased product and the applicable regulatory requirements. And records related to supplier selection, monitoring, and reevaluation need to be maintained. Made. Purchasing information needs to include, as applicable, a written agreement that the supplier notifies the organization of changes in the purchased product prior to implementation of those changes that affect the ability of the purchased product to meet requirements. That could be their customer's requirements or regulatory requirements. And when the organization becomes aware of any changes to the purchased product, they must determine whether these changes impact the product realization process or the medical device and react accordingly. Section 752 relates to cleanliness of product. Organization needs to document requirements for cleanliness of product or contamination of product if the product cannot be cleaned prior to sterilization or its use, and its cleanliness is of significance in its use. Section 754, servicing activities. The organization shall analyze records of servicing activities carried out by the organization or its suppliers, if servicing is outsourced, and determine if the information should be handled as a complaint, and it should be an input to the improvement process as appropriate. Section 756 relates to validation of processes for production and service provision. The organization is required to document its procedures for validation of processes. These procedures must include revalidation and criteria for revalidation and approval of changes to processes. We spoke about this earlier, but there is a requirement for a documented procedure for validation of computer software. Specific approach to be used must be proportionate to the associated risk and the effect on the ability of the product to conform to specifications. Records of results, conclusions, and any necessary improvement actions from validation activities need to be maintained. 757 are requirements for validation of processes for sterilization and sterile barrier systems. So here we see an introduction of a concept of sterile barrier systems. Processes need to be validated prior to implementation and following product process changes. And records need to be maintained from these validation activities. There is a reference here to ISO 11607-1 and -2. So this is a requirement for you, for your organization, and the particular type of device, sterile barrier systems. I would recommend consulting 11607. 758 relates to product identification. And if it's required based on the type of device by applicable regulatory requirements, the organization has to document a system to assign a unique device ID to the medical device. Organization also has to have more general procedures to ensure that medical devices returned to the organization are identified and distinguished from conforming product. So suspect and non-conforming product that's returned needs to be distinguished from conforming product or WIP. 7511 relates to preservation of product. The organization must protect product from alteration, contamination, damage during processing, storage, handling, and distribution by making sure that the packaging and shipping containers are suitable. If there's any special requirements, if packaging itself is not sufficient, those need to be documented. And if special conditions are in fact required, they must be controlled and recorded. So how are you monitoring them and how are you making sure they're met each time? 821 relates to feedback. The organization must document procedures for feedback, including production and post-production activities. Any feedback that is gathered or brought into the management system shall be a potential input into risk management for monitoring and maintaining product requirements, as well as the product realization or improvement processes. So feedback from customers, employees, subcontractors, regulatory bodies, your certification body needs to be maintained and considered and acted upon. 822 complaint handling. Again, there needs to be a documented procedure here that addresses the timely handling in accordance with applicable regulatory requirements. Certain timelines are specified, those need to be met. You need to justify for not investigating a complaint, that needs to be documented. And if the organization's investigation reveals that activities outside of the organization contributed to the complaint, maybe it related to an outsourced transportation provider or a contract manufacturer, then those relevant parties need to be brought into the problem solving and information exchanged. And records of the complaint handling process need to be maintained. E23 relates to reporting to regulatory authorities. And if the applicable regulatory requirements require notification of complaints that meet specified reporting criteria, likely related to adverse events or issuance of advisory notices, the organization shall have a documented procedure for providing notification to the appropriate regulatory authority. And the fact that the report was made to the regulatory authority needs to be recorded. E26 relates to the monitoring and measuring of product. These records need to identify the test equipment that was actually used to perform the monitoring and measurement activity. So if the specific micrometer or thermometer or caliper or CMM machine was used, the identity of that device needs to be recorded. 8.3 relates to control of non-conforming products. Again, a requirement for a documented procedure that defines the responsibilities and authorities for identifying, documenting, segregating, evaluating, and making the disposition of non-conforming product. The evaluation piece needs to include a determination of the need for an investigation and notification to any external party responsible for the nonconformity. And records of the evaluation investigation must be maintained. 1345-2003 versus 2016 is there's a separation in response to non-conforming product detected before delivery. It's now in 832, is separated from actions in response to non-conforming product detected after delivery. It's in 833. Non-conforming product accepted by concession can be done so only if justification is provided, approval is obtained, and applicable regulatory requirements are met. And 833, the organization shall document procedures for issuing advisory notices in accordance with applicable regulatory requirements. These procedures need to be able to be implemented at the ready, at a moment's notice, and records of implementation need to be maintained. 8.4, analysis of data. The required procedure needs to include a determination of the appropriate methods, including statistical techniques and the extent of their use. The analysis of data needs to include input from audits and service reports as applicable. 8.5.2, which is corrective action. And 853, which is preventive action. The required procedure here needs to include a verification that the corrective preventive action implemented does not adversely affect the ability to meet applicable regulatory requirements on the safety and performance of the device. Okay, that's all I have for the prepared presentation. I'll now answer any questions that have been typed into the question feature. Okay, getting some questions coming in. A lot of people are asking about the slides and their availability. The slides will be available for download from our website, as well as a recording of today's presentation at www.pjr.com. Major differences, Marcus, between 9001 and 1345. I think you saw in today's presentation that 9001 has a lot more requirements for documented procedures. There's also some very specific requirements related to medical devices, very specific definitions, including the definition of a complaint. Mr. Morales is asking about ISO 1345 and ISO 14971. ISO 14971 is a set of requirements related to risk and risk management. Risk is obviously a very large part of a medical device management system. ISO 14971 should be considered. Alex is asking, what are the major differences between ISO 1345 and 21 CFR Part 820? Alex, ISO 1345 is the set of management system requirements. 21 CFR Part 820 are the regulatory requirements specified by the FDA. There may be other regulatory requirements specified by other bodies in other countries. Getting a question about being a storage and distribution facility and if section 823 would apply. So that relates to reporting to regulatory authorities. Tough to say if that would apply to you. You're likely doing storage and distribution for some type of customer. That may be the legal manufacturer of the medical device, and they may require you to notify them if things go wrong. So in that sense, 823 might reply. You may not be reporting to the regulatory authority, but you may be reporting to the medical device manufacturer, whoever that is, if certain requirements are met. Okay, getting a question on whether 415 applies to packaging for a class one product. Okay, so Marcus, I'm assuming you're talking about if you outsource the packaging for a class one product, do you still need to monitor and control the process that is outsourced to that manufacturer, the packaging? 100%. Now, again, the controls are proportionate to the risk involved, and they may not be manufacturing a sterile barrier system, for example, but yes, it would still apply. Alex is asking if there's rules in 1345 related to altering the design of a medical device. I believe, Alex, that's covered in 7310. I'm just scrolling through to confirm that I have the right clause. And if there is a design change, there are a lot of requirements. It's not 7310. Might be 739. 739, Alex. There are a ton of requirements related to controlling design changes, and those need to be met. It's 739. Aman Eshra, your question about design control and prepare and sharing a case study, I'm not in a position to share a specific case study. Maybe if you want to ask a more specific question, I can help you. Aman is also asking, what's the impact of measurements on both monitoring and controlling a process? This seems to be a really broad question. So if you're attempting to monitor and control a process, that can be really difficult to do, Aman, without quantitative data. So you need those measurements. If you have the quantitative data, you can see if the target or specification is being met. And if it's not being met, you can react to bring the process into control, implement a corrective action to increase the likelihood of meeting the target. Alex, Alexander, I need you to define for me what FASC is. Okay, Alex is asking if a factory authorized service center decides not to include certain features of a medical device. For example, if a Trilogy ventilator was made to include a nurse call, but the customer states they do not need it and the nurse call fails testing, can the factory authorized service center disable that specific component? Alex, I don't want to comment on that. I'm not certain of the answer. Wait a few more minutes to see if any additional questions come in. Again, please visit our website, www.pjr.com, to access a recording and the slides from today's presentation. And you'll also see information and a schedule of upcoming webinars on a variety of topics. Okay, folks, there appear to be no additional questions. I thank you for attending today's webinar and look forward to seeing you on upcoming webinars sponsored by PJR. Have a great day.